Hello.
Hey, this is Rob. Who's on, please?
This is Dennis and Debbie and Laura.
Hello.
Brian. Hello. So Brian might join us shortly. We're had a prospect in the office that's going a little long, so it's he's still in that one.
That's a good thing.
That's a good problem. Yeah, we'll take those any day.
Yeah.
How you been?
Good. What's on your mind? What can I do for you today?
Oh, I mean, I feel like we're kind of clocking along. We've kind of ramped up all the client calls and everything. I think we've got pretty much, I'd say 90% of the client base on a recurring call schedule, maybe 80. I'd say, between 80 and 90% of them on a recurring call and making the calls and everything. So it's going well. I mean, it's a good time to be doing this too, because people are, when your portfolios are flat and suck, it's a good time to be doing that.
Very important. It's important all the time, but when there's lots of news about things that scare people and tariffs and, Turkey and whatever, there's always something, isn't there, right?
That's right, so, yeah.
Yeah, there's never a bad time to be doing Supernova. And you'll be very impressed when we do go through a bear market. You'll be very impressed with how it keeps you on track and keeps you from putting your head in the sand, and the results are tremendous in terms of keeping clients and making them value what you do. And so it all gets better as things are, the more disruptive, frankly, the more disruptive, we all want bull markets, but the more disruptive the markets, frankly, the better it is for us.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I found kind of interesting is about the second to third call, I've noticed we've been getting more people wanting to come in for unis.
Okay.
Like, we're starting to bring up more things, I think, that, it's kind of, that second or third call, different items are coming up. They're like, we're like, well, why don't you come in, we'll go over that. And they're like, okay. Yeah, so we're kind of getting into different details maybe we haven't before.
And more planning.
And a lot more planning. We've done a lot. We're getting people to get a lot more of them on board to do plans. And, that's been the focus of our calls, too, is getting, we haven't really done a plan for you. We haven't looked over it here. We haven't, whatever it is. Just let's focus on that. So, especially the newer ones.
That's really good. It's, peeling the onion, however you call it, opening the rose. The idea is that the more you call, the more they open up, the more you find out, the more business you do, and the deeper your relationship.
Yeah. Well, I even had an awesome one that, I don't know if this has ever happened to anyone, that I can't believe, I called a client, and she was on a train at Disney World, and she answered my call. She was like, hey, how's it going? I was like, I just asked, what are you doing? I could hear something. She's like, I'm on a train at Disney World. I was like, well, go have fun. I'll call you later. I don't need anything better. And she's like, okay.
That's great.
So,
she's well trained. You trained her.
Yeah. But I've never had that happen before. So that's good.
That's really good.
I think that's really the main thing we've been focusing on, just getting them all. I've got the next round, or the last round to give to Debbie to get started. And then I've been tracking, make sure who we not talk to in 30 days, 40 days, 40, things like that. And that list is shrinking, almost to nothing now. And then, one thing we've done, I think we kind of got it from, it's kind of the, I can't remember if it was the giving board or something. Kind of the responsibility, who's responsible for what. One thing we've probably done a little bit different is, we have a really good CRM system, and we all use, and it's made us all use it much more. And so, what I've been doing is that at the end of every Friday, our report, or our system can make a report on every note we've taken, and it'll group it by client, and then it'll say who put the note in, what day, what time, and everything, and then so I send it out, the whole team reads it before our team meeting on Monday. And then we just go over it, say what all is done, and then really focus on, Brian and I especially we talk about it before the meeting on what do we need to follow up on, who's going to do what, and then we just use those notes to make sure that all gets done on any follow-up items. So that's helpful. That's helpful a lot.
What's your CRM system?
Redtail?
Okay.
Yeah, and we've gone, I think the first week we did it, I think there was 9 pages of notes, and this last one, I think it was 16 pages of notes. So it's increased quite a bit. And I think it averages, 13 to 16, mm-hmm. somewhere around there, per week of notes that we're doing.
It's really good. You guys are really taking advantage of Supernova. I love to see that.
Yeah, clients are, of course they like it. I haven't had anyone not like the call, but I feel like it's made us stay on top of things too, and have, keeping track of the notes and things like that.
Okay, in terms of being as efficient with your prospecting as you are with your client calls, how is that going?
We're kind of doing the same way. The same thing in the CRM, we've got a prospect where I kind of have 5 different stages, and I keep in what stage we're on with each of them. As far as, just an initial phone call or first meeting, or if we give them a recommendation or, things like that, I have different stages. They're part of the notes as well. That's part of the whole process. They're kind of done in the notes and the review each week, the same as clients are.
Okay.
I don't know if your question or not.
No, it's perfect. It means you're fully integrating it into your system is what you're telling me.
Yeah, and then we just look at when I run the report, the contact report, I use the prospects as well on when's the last time we talked to them too.
That's great. Are you putting them on a regular schedule then, just like you do Supernova clients?
Not as good. Not yet. That's something I hope to get done, but we haven't put them on a regular one like a client.
Go ahead and on the ones that you think, okay, this is, of the 15 prospects I have, these 5 are going to become clients. Okay, these are good. Make up a folder for them just like you would a typical client. Okay?
Okay.
Put them right in the system just like you would a client. And then you may call them more than every 30 days, but you're going to get you're going to talk to them every 30 days. And go ahead and go so far, if you can, of making an appointment with them.
Okay.
Okay? And then, if you can, get them to understand that this is what the way will work in the future.
Mm-hmm.
This is what, remember, we call the 90-day free look.
Okay.
Where they get to see what it's going to be like to be a client. You don't need to do that with everybody. If they're going to become a client right away, great.
Yeah.
Just make them a client. But if you feel like it's going to be a process, then go ahead and give them a folder, send it to them, drop it off, hand it to them, put them on the schedule, show them what it's going to be like. This is how we operate. This is what we do. This is why we're different. And they will love it. And they will see that. It makes their decision that much easier.
Okay.
We use the Franklin Close idea that you put on one side all the reasons that it makes sense to do business with you, and then on the other side why they don't want to do business with you. And the idea is to load up the one side. And it's not by telling them all the different products and services you provide. It's by actually showing them what you do. Okay? This is how we work with our clients, and this is why we're very different from what you'll typically see.
Okay?
It's just, to me, it's just powerful.
Okay.
So you fully integrate that into your Red Tail model, and I think I'd be very interested in you doing that because, you know, with the people that have done it, it works. And so, surprise, surprise. But, you know, there aren't that many. People just are not that organized. And
right.
You know, if I can get there off there and get organized around their clients, it's like a huge win for me. But if I can get them organized around their prospecting, then they will never go back to the chaos of prospecting anymore. It'll all be kind of regimented, just like the client calls. You just need the feeder system to fill up the front end. That's all.
That makes sense. I don't know if you hear this from other advisors, but it seems like it's either feast or famine with prospects. It's like we had one week, we had, I think, like 7 good ones call. And then, it was like 3 hours or something one time. And it was just, and you get inundated with them, and then you'll have a few weeks where you get one, and then you'll have 6 again. You know, it's weird. I've never understood why.
Well, part of it is our initiative. That may not be your case. This may be complete, you know, random people calling in, centers of influence referring people and so forth. But typically what I see is it reflects on what you did 6 months ago or you did 3 months ago or
right.
You did a year ago. And these things are all coming through. And here's the trap. The trap is when you get 7 of them, So the question is, how do we keep it so that we get what we want every week, okay, and there aren't these ups and downs and feast or famine? And the answer is, we make the input consistent. So what disrupts our input? It's the 7 prospects, okay?
That's right.
When you get 7 people that want to do business with you, you stop prospecting. And there's a big gap.
Right.
Then of no prospecting until we get those 7 people in.
That's exactly right.
So what we need to do is we need to discipline ourselves to say that we're not just going to work out before we're going to run a marathon. We're going to work out consistently every day so that we're ready for a marathon whenever it comes. Okay, so the idea is to prospect every day some, so that it isn't feast or famine, it just becomes very consistent.
Okay.
And that's why I'm suggesting that you use your CRM system, and which you're already using, great, but just, you know, make that as regimented around your client calls around your prospects as you are around your client calls, and then you won't be allowed to stop following up.
Right. And that's the key is, I mean, cause I don't think most people, and we hear that from other ones, I mean, you're the only one who followed up or you're the only, most people won't do that.
Right. So you need to build into the system where right in the middle of your chaos of opening 7 accounts, you've got a 2 o'clock prospecting call because it's scheduled.
Right. Yeah.
That's the key. So force yourself to get to that discipline where they're not just random phone calls, but they're actual appointments.
That makes sense. Okay.
So it gets us off. Here's why Supernova works so well. Because we're not in charge of it. The key is to get us out of it. So why do we make the phone calls? Because there's an appointment set, and the phone is ready. That's why we do it, right?
That's right.
Given our given our druthers, we'd rather play on the computer or make a, you know, go get a cup of coffee. But we can't. We gotta work. So with that theory in mind, that we're pleasure seekers and we avoid conflict or work or anything, then you turn over your prospecting as much as you can to your team to set up appointments so that you get automatic follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're stuck. You gotta be efficient. Okay.
Right.
And the reality is, look, you're doing it. You're just not as efficient as you could be. If you weren't doing it at all, we wouldn't even be having this conversation, okay?
Right, right.
I know you wouldn't do it no matter what, right? But you're doing it.
Right.
You're just, all we want to do is tweak it a little bit. Just like you guys were giving great service before, we just took it and tweaked it. We got it out of your hands.
Yeah, so make it more consistent.
Make it more consistent. Anything we can do to make your prospecting more consistent and we don't and eliminate the feast or famine where it's all just generally good eating.
Right.
We don't want feast and we don't want famine. We want regular eating. Good habits.
Right.
Right?
Right.
All right. So that's a good conversation. That's good.
Okay.
That's very good. I think that really makes sense. So share that with your team and try and get them to get into it and understand that it's not because you want to give them more work, but because you need the discipline of having things structured and having somebody else involved in the prospecting besides yourself, and you'll be more consistent with it. Even if they don't schedule the appointment, I mean, the client doesn't know it's a scheduled appointment, you make it a scheduled appointment for you.
Right.
And make your team in charge of that schedule. Okay? So if it's every 2 weeks you want to call that guy, you make the, you know, you say, I need that folder in front of me, you know, every 2 weeks. So set up my schedule that way, and this is the best time to call him. And so, you know, it appears on your desk, and you have a 10 o'clock appointment schedule to call him, even if he's not there. You still made the call, and you got the follow-up, and you get credit for following up.
Right.
Okay. But if you can make an appointment, it's even better. I mean, obviously.
That's right. Yeah.
You look more professional when it's an appointment, by the way.
What was that?
You look more professional when it's an appointment.
Yeah.
When you're prospecting.
That's right. That's exactly right. I think that's about, I'm trying to think of anything else we've done. Can you think of anything we kind of changed or added since the last call? And really, it's just been doing it. And I know it's made, you know, I mean, heck, all the calls are enjoyable. And, you know, Debbie's got all the reports ready, and we just look over the report. I mean, I'd say it's simple, you know, since we haven't been as good as we should have at, we're getting a lot of follow-up on things, like I said, and we're getting someone want to come in and meet, things like that. I think it'll get even a little easier over time.
Yeah,
but,
it will.
But yeah, coming up every call, which is good.
No. I mean, the good news is you're doing it. The bad news is when you do it initially, there's a lot of extra work that's generated because
every call there's something pretty much. It's like something's coming up, but it's been...
That's good. All right, there's a couple of follow-ups, and I'm following up on these things because I think they're such good ideas.
Okay.
And I gave them to you last month. And I just wanted to follow up and see if you were able to put them into the system or not.
Okay.
Do you remember what they were? Do you remember what the ideas were?
On the last one, let's see what we've... You mentioned like the anniversary list.
Right. Bingo.
I'm in process on it. I've got Red Tail's helping me create one. I have it, but I couldn't get the layout I wanted. So that is in process, actually.
Excellent. And remember, it was based on the date they opened the account.
Right.
And you have the person that referred you So there's two phone calls to be made on that date. And one to the client, and one is to the person that referred you.
Yeah, I can get the anniversary date one. I'm trying to get it where I can have the referrer on there too, so we can just have it on a list and kind of keep, you know, make it really simple. So I think we're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, that will be brilliant when you do it. I'm really excited, and I think you're going to get unsolicited introductions from that call. People are going to say, you know, thank you. I really appreciate the call, and I've got another guy for you. You know, they're going to do that. They want more. Yeah. So it's a way of prospecting or asking for introductions or referrals without ever asking.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Yep. Give me another one.
The other idea was the enthusiastically endorsed list. We talked about turning that into a little more of an active tool to use. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we've created one. I think we've still got some work to do on it. But, I mean, heck, we've used it how many times lately?
Several times.
We've actually had, I know the main thing you said, if I remember correctly, was for the out-of-town people. But we've had to use it quite a bit lately just for new clients. I mean, I've noticed, it seems like half of them lately, they wanted a new CPA or a new attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Laura's done a really good job of, she'll just say, okay, you're looking for that. We've got a list. I'll email you, both of them, or healthcare too.
Yeah.
We'll send you the names, and that same day they get that from us. So that's, and they use them.
Yeah.
And that's
really good. Now make sure that you're emailing calling the person you're referring to.
Right.
Okay. You don't want that to be an anonymous introduction.
That's right.
I think we've done a good job of that.
We
probably need to make sure and focus on it, but I think we've done it. I don't know if we've done it just because that's. But I'll write that down.
Yeah, I want the insurance people know each time. The CPAs got half the time.
Yeah, so we need to do that every time.
Right. I think we're just
going
to refer to a couple that
we
just don't even call them.
Right.
That's another one of those opportunity conversations.
Right.
Because when you call and say, hey, I've got a guy for you, what are they going to be thinking? I should get a guy for you, right? They just might have somebody right there then, you know?
Yeah, people want to give back. That's right.
Right. So that's like our anniversary calls on the introductions. Giving a referral is a great opportunity to reinforce that value that you're creating with your center of influence.
Yeah.
So I would go ahead and make sure I took advantage of that and called and then I emailed all the information, or even go so far as to get the person on the phone and do a personal introduction.
Okay, that's a good idea. We don't usually do that, but that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it really makes it, first of all, we're also fascinators, right?
That's right.
You know, so people are shy, too. And they, if you introduce them rather than just give them an email or a phone number, they may not follow up. And if you do it for them, they are very appreciative.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a good point. And I just thought of something. If we're going to the anniversary list, we can put, I need to look on this on the calendar. I think we can have a client anniversary date automatically pop up on the calendar to make sure we make that call that day.
Yeah, you can. You just put it on an annual basis. So you take in Outlook, that's all you do is just type in the name and anniversary call, then it'll, and then put annual, you know, on the recurring.
Right.
It'll appear on that, and you don't care about the day of the month, it's just a date, so you'll always put the same date.
Yeah. Okay. Let's look into that.
You go ahead and put both names on there, the person you're referring to and the person that referred, you know, so you get both.
Okay.
So that makes sense. On the enthusiastically endorsed lineup, you know, when I use these ideas, I get it kind of, we call it stair-stepping, where I give you a good idea and then you say, hey, I want to use that with Red Tail and I want to do this and I'm going to do this. And so you take it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens, and so the ideas become a little larger. And so one of the things to do on your enthusiastically endorsed list is to give it a name. Give it something, you know, give it a brand. Create a name around it. Okay?
Okay.
So you make it kind of a club. And then when you welcome a new member into the club, meaning you met a new, you only want one of each in that list, right? One CPA, one attorney. Now you have, I think I've shared with you in the past, people say, how many should I have? Well, you need three of everything.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you have one at that that you like and is great and grows business and is perfect. And then you've got one on deck. Because if that guy retires, you need somebody to fill in.
Yeah.
And then you got one in the dugout, right? So to me, monthly contact with your center of influence, whether it be in person or not, I think it's really important. The one on deck quarterly and the one in the dugout semi-annually. Okay, so your center of influence enthusiastically endorsed list has three levels to it. So think of it as the top level is the first team, second team, third team. Okay?
Okay.
So if you're on the first team, that's the team that gets all the attention. They get the monthly contacts. They get invited to a, you know, a quarterly cocktail party or a get-together or something at your house or, you know, some sporting event. Take them to the ball game, something fun for them, but also where they get to know each other. Because they will refer business away, you know, to each other, right?
Right.
So you want them all, you want this to be one big mastermind group, or call it what you will, but enthusiastically endorsed group. So when a new member comes in, you send them a letter of welcome. But you also send a letter to each one of the other members in your group, welcoming this new person.
I say that again?
You send a letter to the person that comes in. So let's say a guy retires and you have a new person step up as the number one CPA.
Okay.
All right, so you send them a letter welcoming them to the group. And then you send a letter to all the other people in the enthusiastically endorsed group telling them that we have a new member. And you just give them give them a bio on them.
Huh. That's interesting. Okay.
Isn't that fun?
It's all your personal kind of, because they're coming to group these events together. Okay. So they kind of know who that is when they show up.
Right. So this is the big leagues. You got the best players in this group, and they know each other, and they refer to each other, and so it becomes kind of a prestigious thing in town to be a member of this group. But you have three, so it doesn't mean that you only, in our case, what I recommend with the major you know, the other major firms require that you give three names always. Mm-hmm. Whenever you flip anybody, it's a good compliance best practice.
That's right.
Because I just saw that, who is it, Grant, the basketball player, suing his CPA for $77 million because the financial advisor he was doing business with ran off with $77 million of his money.
Oops.
Bad, right? Bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, in court, you could say, hey, you know, if they sued you for a CPA running off with the money, you could say, hey, I referred three people.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
You picked them. I didn't pick them. I gave you three names. You said, you know, who should I pick? And I say, well, this person got more enthusiastic endorsements than anybody else, but I want to make sure it's a good fit personality-wise, et cetera.
That's right. And that's kind of how we do it. Here's a couple of them. I think this one would be a better fit, but, you know, you got to like the person, too. Yeah. So.
Right, right. So interview them. Yeah, yeah. So interview them all. So then you're off the hook compliance-wise. But I think this is a really good idea, and I think you can take it to a lot of different levels, right? These become your friends, they become, you know, I mean, they are already, right, a lot of these people.
Right.
But they can, you can, you know, it's just an excuse to get together and with your friends, but guess what? You know, when they're referring business to each other, they're thanking you for bringing them together.
Yeah.
Even though you don't get anything out of it, they still think of you as a connector.
So speaking of that, this made me think about one of the CPAs that Laura knows, and we've sent, well, I think, yeah, kind of a few new clients have gone over there, and they've been really impressed with them. So we call them. I've never met the guy, and I think he worked with one other of our clients already. But so we just called and said, hey, you know, wanted to see what you thought about working with, you know, we sent whoever over. We've heard good things about you. We'd like to, you know, go out to lunch and learn more about you. And he was, you know, he wanted to do that, wanted to wait until after the 15th. So we're going to set a time, but I guess give us some pointers there. I mean, usually the way I do that is I just ask the one, you know, tell me about your business and what kind of clients you're looking for. You know, if we send someone your way, what's your ideal client? And, you know, how do we help you, you know, tell the client, you know, tell the our client that's coming over, you know, how you work and things like that.
I think that's you.
Right.
Yeah, yes and no. I want it to be an interview, though. I want to know about them. I want to know, you know, who they are, and I want to really know them, because in reality, they're going to be interacting with your clients, and you have some pretty high standards in terms of service.
Right.
Okay, so my suggestion would be, I'd want to know what they specialized in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just so it's a good fit for you. What you said was, tell us what your ideal client is. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Who is your ideal client? You know, frankly, you know, I want to know what you charge.
That's,
you know, how did you turn
that? That's a great one.
We never asked that.
That's kind of important.
Yeah. How much do you charge, and how do you determine that? It's usually based on the amount of billable hours.
Yeah.
You know, how can I make do you want to charge more or less? Are you trying to be efficient, or do you want to look? Are you looking for billable hours? That's the truth too.
Yeah.
So they can use you to cut down on their billable hours if they're doing, you know, a situation where they're trying to evaluate a portfolio or something. They can send it to you, and you can price it. They don't need to, right?
Right.
And you can send them an awful lot of the stuff ahead of time that you guys know about that can make their job a lot easier and save them time.
That's right. And that's what we try to do.
Yeah. So remember, you may not remember this because we're so involved in organization and segmentation and all that stuff, but I had this 5-step process for bringing in a new center of influence.
Okay.
And the first step is to meet with them and see if it's a match, right? Do you like them? And
right.
The second step is once you determine you like them and you think that they would be a good fit for you, then you go see their team. So you bring your team with you.
Huh.
And you meet their team in their space. And you're doing an interview. You're seeing them. Who's your ideal client? Do you work with corporations? Do you work with individuals? Do you work with families? Do you work with large estates? Do you work with, what do you do? How do you do it? How do you build? Et cetera. You want to know, your staff, your team wants to know their team.
Right.
So now, once you've figured out that, this is a good fit, then you bring them over and meet, and you guys, you've met this staff, but you want them to come over and see your space. Mm-hmm. And meet a few people that they didn't get to meet. So you don't want to bring everybody in the first meeting.
Right.
All right. So then you bring their staff over to meet your staff and pick up a few people that you didn't meet before. And at that point, my suggestion is, you introduce yourself based on the 5-star model. And you just spend 3 or 4 minutes telling about which the roles and responsibilities and how you're organized. So you talk about the director of planning. What does he do? How does he or she manage that? Director of implementation. How do we determine our 24-month calendar? How do we determine how we manage the money, etc. Then, director of brand management talks about Supernova, the organization, the structure of your client service model, and your problem-solving model. And then the director of marketing talks about how do we grow? What do we do to get our brand out there in terms of marketing ourselves? And how have we grown? How do we grow? Because they're interested in growing. And then the last is the director of leadership, which stands and talks about the overall vision, purpose, mission of the team, and how we develop our people internally, and how we plan to grow over the next 5 years.
Okay.
And they will be blown away, okay? Because I will tell you, they won't do that.
That's right. Yeah.
But they don't have a plan.
That's right.
Okay? They just work. They come in and work and hope they get referrals.
That's true.
No, it's true. It's true. They don't call their clients. They don't call, email, and if God forbid they have to call, they call, but they don't really do 1242 or do any service model at all, and they don't grow because they don't prospect. So they're completely dependent on what you're offering, and you are a marketing machine, which they are going to fall in love with and hope, like heck, they can send as much business to you as possible because they want it in return. And then one of the things you teach them is the enthusiastically endorsed question. Because they're going to say, how are you able to get all these prospects? And we tell them, this is how we send prospects to you. We ask every client, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And they're either going to be positive, negative, or neutral. So when they're negative and they say, we hate our CPA, we want a new one, we send them to you. If it's a fit, right? You don't want us to send everybody. You want us to send clients that are going to be a good fit. When they're positive, that's how we build our enthusiastically endorsed list. And when they're neutral, we're neutral. We put them on a list, but it's not our enthusiastically endorsed list. And then when we get enough people that say this guy's terrific, we go see him.
That's
what you tell them. That's how we built this enthusiastically endorsed list. Everybody has been vetted. We've met everybody. and everybody that does business with them considers them good. Now, the rule is no jerks allowed.
Yeah, that's right. That's definitely the case.
That's really important. No client jerks, no enthusiastically endorsed jerks. Meaning you can't send somebody to a roofer or a painter or a guy that's doing your driveway or a CPA or an attorney and have them be a jerk.
Yep.
Okay.
You tried to kick out, officially kicked out a, how big, $1.3 million client that had just signed up maybe 2 weeks before and had her come in and just kind of gave her the, and this isn't working. So she was rude to Darlene and, yeah, if you don't like Darlene, it kind of seems like you don't get along, and we work as a team, so if that's the case, then I think you need to go somewhere else.
Good for you. Congratulations.
So.
You know, standards are only standards as long as you are willing to uphold those standards. Otherwise, they aren't standards.
They caught her off guard, that's for sure.
Maybe it's a good life lesson for her. Maybe nobody's done that to her. Maybe they need to.
Yeah, nobody's done that to her. I guarantee it. She thinks she's pretty big time.
I think she's pretty special. Well, somebody told her she wasn't, okay? And that's really good.
They want to feel good, but we did it.
It made, and Darlene made her feel good. It made you feel good. Everybody in the team then respects you for doing that and says, money is people over profits.
Yeah, that's right.
Always got to be the rule.
Yeah, you learn the hard way that crappy clients are tough to work with.
Yeah.
They're a virus. Their energy sucks.
They are. Their energy sucks. They definitely are.
They're vampires.
They are. They're energy vampires.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a good way to put it.
Hey, we've been kind of on a roll today. I like this. It's been a really good call for me. So what are the big takeaways from today?
Oh, I think just following up on, you know, like the anniversary list for us and the kind of fine-tuning our endorsed list and making it better. Yeah, and adding, I think putting a prospect on a list, because that's the same way. It's like, well, when I get done with this or that, I'll get to those. And then 3 days later, I'm like, I still need to get to that. I worked on insurance and health insurance and 3 supernova calls today, and I'm going to do it tomorrow. So
yeah.
If they're on the list, I'll do it.
It's really good. Good. It's good. Well, it's fun working with you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's fun working with you. Congratulations. You always thought, you know, I knew you guys were really good. It's just nice seeing it all kind of coming together.
It's getting there. We've got work to do, but it's getting there.
Yeah, I really see it coming together. So congratulations. It's a pleasure. Pleasure doing business with you.
We appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right.
Bye.